Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking a gay person to change and be straight. That's right. You can't find in the Bible anything that condemns gays. Why did Jesus come anyway? Jesus came because he first loved you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth would have everlasting life. Now this process of salvation is kind of interesting. It could be as simple as a prayer, you know, God save me a sinner. Or you can get more detailed, you know. God, I believe that Jesus is your Son, and that he died on the cross, and that you rose him on the third day. You know, and then you could go on and almost give a sermon as you're inviting people maybe to accept Jesus with a prayer or something, or you know, sometimes you listen to pastors and stuff, they could spend quite a great deal of time while you're up there trying to accept Jesus. So what is this salvation thing? What does it really mean? What is the whole point and everything of this? You see, in the Old Testament, we go through a long process of time where God is going to reveal his purpose and his love for you. He sent a series of phases in the world. The first phase was the garden. And this is where we have Adam and Eve. Then, you know, we go through this 1,000 years after they get kicked out of the garden. Because, you know, right away we see in the garden, humans sin, so they got kicked out of the garden. Now they're in this 1,000-year period where they could live to be about 1,000 years old. And just about everybody lost it. And only Noah survived out of the flood. And we go through this process of time where finally God went to Moses over there in Egypt, because, you know, there was a great famine, and Abraham and his group and his sons and everything went to Egypt because one of his sons got pretty powerful there, second in command. And so they were invited to come and live in Egypt. Well, this ended up turning into, as the years went by, to 400 years of slavery for the Egyptians. And then Moses came around, and he led the people to the promised land. Now, this is where Moses got the Ten Commandments. On the way to the promised land, he went up the mountain there, spent 40 days. God wrote on the tablet the Ten Commandments, gave them to Moses. He went down. Everybody down there was a sinner. They already made themselves another calf. They molded it, melted all the gold down. Even Moses' brother, Aaron, was going along with them because, you know, that's what they wanted. So we know that Moses threw down those tablets and busted them all up. So he went back up the mountain again. He brought this time a couple of his own tablets, and then God wrote the Ten Commandments on them, and also he spent another 40 days. Now, somehow or another, Moses remembered all that, maybe because, you know, they were still close enough to the beginning of time, as it were, when Adam and Eve were there, that they retained photographic memory. We also know that when Moses went into the tent and all that, you know, after he got instructions to what to build and all that, put his tent up, God talked to him a lot. It seemed like that he communed with God verbally. So maybe God told him. But anyway, whatever, how he got it, if he memorized it and wrote it down later, or God told him, dictated to him as he wrote down the five books of the Bible, the first five books. In this was a law on how to get saved. In other words, how are you going to live forever with God? Because we're sinning. and the law was written out and taught. And you had to follow this law and that law. You had to follow the Ten Commandments. And then you had a way to take care of your sins. You had annual sacrifices where you got animals, and it lists the kinds of animals that are good to use for this. There are some kinds of grains and stuff that is also good. And anyway, you give them to the Levite priests there, and they'll cut them up the way they're supposed to, and they'll drip the blood where they're supposed to do. You know, it's pretty sophisticated. You get caught in a sin, sometimes you gotta, there's some of these sacrifices you gotta do right away. Well, you know, to get saved would be to obey every single thing that Moses wrote down. And then if you didn't do those, then you have to go and get atoned from it by having a blood sacrifice of some sort of animal. And this is what Israel is going to be trying to do now in our day. They're already having training priests to do blood sacrifices. This is all a process working behind the scenes that we don't hear a lot about. But today, we can't do that. You know, sometimes we hear people saying you should obey this and that and so forth. You can't obey the law, people. Because for one sin, you have to get that atonement. And you can't do a bull or a cow or something today. There's nothing you can do. You can't go and kill an animal for the shedding of the blood. You can't do that. So when you're trying to follow the law that Moses wrote, God told Moses to write down, even if you wanted to try and you're in a sin, you're going to have to figure out how you're going to get atoned for sin, because you can't, I mean, you have to get atoned. You have to have blood sacrifice. And this is where Jesus comes in. This is why he came. He had to be that final sacrifice. He has to shed his blood, and he had to be pure. That means without sin. And he was born of a virgin, as we know. And when he came and began his ministry, he began to tell you how you can get saved now, that he was the Son of God. And he was going to raise on the third day after people kill him. When Jesus died, he died for a reason. He died because when his blood is shed, then that is a permanent shedding of blood. You don't have to shed blood anymore. The Old Testament law is supposed to be a school teacher to you. It reveals to you that you're a sinner. It also tells you you can't obey. I mean, no matter how hard we try, we're going to end up sinning. We're human beings. We're going to sin practically right after we're born to the day we die. Anybody that tries to tell you they're not sinning just isn't telling you the truth, because that person is sinning in some way or another. Jesus paid that price. He went up on that cross because he first loved you. You weren't paying attention. You weren't loving him at all. But he loved you, so he spent some time going to get you, to come to you, and the Holy Spirit will draw. It says the Holy Spirit will draw men to Christ. So this is meaning that you're not going to come to Jesus because you want to, or you think you're going to start now trying to find out about this kind of stuff, or, you know, something that you're going to try to figure out yourself. This is not going to happen. The day that you begin to feel like you want to know about Jesus, and you begin to search for what is true. Maybe you don't think it's Jesus, son, but you feel inside you, you want something that's true. It's the Holy Spirit beginning to draw you. And when you are drawn by the Holy Spirit, then you are able to hear the story about Jesus Christ. It's by faith. So anybody wants to start listing rules and regulations and stuff like that, or some, none of this stuff is going to work. If you're going to say you want to see a concrete evidence of proof of something, it's not going to be. It's faith. And the reason you can have this faith to believe, it's belief. I believe you're the Son of God. You're believing. It's not something you know. It's not something somebody can show you a fact on. So you have to believe. People, if you're looking for proof, and you haven't accepted Jesus yet, you're not ever going to find proof. You might find some interesting information, but all you're going to do is hear other people say what they have experienced, and it's not going to be proof to you. You're not going to get proof about Jesus Christ. You're going to have to believe in Him. And this is why you're not going to believe in Him unless there's a work being done. Jesus first loved you. He came to you. You didn't go to Him. You basically hated Him. But He loved you. And He came to you and began working in your life so that you can then recognize some things. So that when somebody says, you need to recognize that you're a sinner, you know right away you're a sinner. Even if you're a halfway decent person, you know, you still say, you know, I got some stories to tell, but I'll never tell them about my sins. You know your sins. And you don't even have to, some sins are wrong. I'm not talking about all your sins because you can't ever know them. People are going to say, this is a sin and it's not a sin. That's a sin and that's not a sin. You know, people are going to have a sin list. You can get books that's got page after page after page, even hundreds of pages of sins listed. And it could be that more than half of them aren't sins at all. So you're not going to know sins because whatever anybody else tells you. You're going to know you're a sinner because in your heart you know this. And you don't have to put a name on any sin. You just recognize you're a sinner. And you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It's pretty simple. But you have to also believe that Jesus died, and His blood is what is the sacrifice for sin. When you sin, there is a wage. In the Bible it says the wages of sin is death. Your punishment is death. And since you're not pure, when you get up on that cross, however it is that you're going to die, you're not going to come back to life. You're not going to be able to be forgiven of sins by your blood. And this is why Jesus, you know, one person gave a example of, you're in a class, the teacher's up there, and all the students are at their desk. One student was a bad boy, you know, and the teachers had come up here, and they had the whip or the paddle. And you're going to get spanked because you were bad. But then Jesus back there in the back row, He gets up and says, I'm going to come up here, spank me instead of him. Jesus took your punishment. You're supposed to die on that cross, but you would not survive it. You would go to eternal death or eternal in the lake of fire and whatever it is where it says there'll be eternal gnashing of teeth in outer darkness. You'll be away from God. Away from Jesus. So Jesus came, and He did not sin. and he was born from a virgin. Now, this virgin isn't a special person. Did you know that? She wasn't some adult woman that said, I'm going to be virtuous. I'm not going to have any sex or anything like that. And on. No, this is not what happened. Mary was 13 years old when she got pregnant. And when Jesus was born, she was 14 years old. Mary was sent to a boarding school during a period of time where she was at risk for being raped or some other kind of thing. In those days, you know, families made deals with families. My sons marry your daughter. Exchange these kind of monetary value things. Make a deal that's going to be work out for both parties, both families, and they'll get married in the future at some date that we set. So the person that has the daughter is going to say, how am I going to guarantee that my daughter remains pure? And so they have a boarding school, like a daycare at the temple or at the synagogue, where there are people that are there to watch to make sure that no men come in and rape these daughters, so that when they are ready for the marriage, that they will still be pure.
I heard that noise. Got interrupted there, so I have to move to another location. Got a little bit of time left here. So anyway, Mary wasn't pure because of virtue, as it was, though she might have been actually virtuous. But anyway, she was then pregnant by the Holy Spirit and had no man come unto her, so she was a virgin when Jesus gave birth. Now, then Jesus grew up, began his ministry, and was without sin. So, let me go over this here with a simple prayer that I'd like you to pray now if you really are thinking about believing in Jesus and becoming a Christian. It's a really simple prayer that you can pray. Just pray with me. Say, God, I believe that Jesus is your Son and that you rose him on the third day and that he died for my sins. I recognize that I'm a sinner. Come into my life. Now that simple prayer gets you saved. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You believe that he was born a virgin, of a virgin, and lived without sin, and died on the cross, and his death, because he was without sin, his shed blood paid the price for your sins. And they were once and for all. No longer do you have to sacrifice animals for the atonement of sins. Now, it doesn't matter what your background is. You can still find things out about Jesus. And you got to learn this. You have to read the Bible. You start with the Old Testament, read through the New Testament. If you just prayed that prayer, you should read probably like the book of John, and then go back and start reading. Praise God for interruptions. Anyway, read the Bible, the King James Bible, start in the New Testament, and you got to read the whole thing. And you know, I really think if you watch my programs often enough, you would pretty much know that I'm pretty much consistent on the idea that it's pretty soon now that things are going to happen that's going to bring in what we call the tribulation period, and then the return of Jesus just 7 years later, literally as king on earth. So it's a good idea to really get involved. If you haven't read the Bible, if get the King James Version.